You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Find God and discover the good ground of ambition.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, help us all to see what good ground you have given us for ambition, to make the most of the talents with which you have endowed each of us. We can't hide from you. Lead us to walk with you, having faith in your Son Jesus, accepting your forgiveness, and living your life, all for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Ambition is a very human thing. Like the other drives of mankind, it can be used or abused. It can be a blessing or a curse, producing things of beauty or leaving a livid scar on the face of life. Ambition is a gift of God, something to be prized, cultivated, developed, and employed for His glory. When it becomes the instrument of human pride, a drive merely to exert power and influence over other people, a device to tyrannize the lives of others, ambition turns into the opposite of what it was intended to be by the God who gave it. When God created man, he said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." There is good ground for ambition. There is incentive to plan and to do, to conserve and to produce, to multiply resources and to make do with what one has. There's good ground for ambition. It's a fact of life that the good ground has become sour because of human willfulness, human selfishness, and human disregard for the very God who made man in his own image. Human ambition is too often exemplified by Macbeth, whose ambition to become king drove him to take the life of a friend. Not only the murder of Macduff, but the ambition of Macbeth was sin. That's what people do when ambition goes wild. Ambition, which knows no human limitation and shows no regard for God, is sin. That's the point made in Genesis with its description of the fall of the human race. First, man and woman appeared content to live in the world that God had created for them, quite satisfied to observe the limitations he had placed upon them. They had permission to do many different things. They had so many challenges and responsibilities. There was no need to stretch the limits of human ability until the devil planted temptation in their path. He persuaded them to entertain ideas and delusions of grandeur. He raised the question about what God meant when he said, "Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." God knows when you eat of it, Your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. He was right, in one respect. From that time on, they knew evil. The devil has not quit hinting to people that God is holding out on them. He continues to suggest to people that they might become like God, knowing good and evil. That appeals to their ambition, ambition gone wild, knowing no limitation and showing no regard for God. In many ways, this has been the story of the human race. People are always trying to be something they are not. We are all tempted to live our own lives, to plan our own careers, to build our own empires, as though we were the managers of the universe. We make decisions. We pass judgments. We imagine success and greatness as though we were gods. We pretend to be in charge of our own lives and even in control of the lives of others, as though we were some kind of divine judge. We all grasp for that good or worth or value within ourselves that gives us an okay feeling. It's the modern drive to do one's own thing. And sometimes it's just ambition gone wild. People destroy themselves when they forget their own limitations. Consumed by anxiety and by their drive to get to the top, they trample on other people. They plunder the earth. They devastate. Worst of all, they destroy their relationship with God. With exaggerated self-importance, people easily get the feeling that they don't need God. In fact, for a lot of people, God just doesn't exist. He's like one of the satellites, a puppet on a string, to be used for some human end. Eating the apple of ambition carries its own curse with it. That's not the only side of the story, however. One might easily get the impression that there's no room at all for ambition. The creation of God is not an encouragement to sit around and do nothing. God created people to be creative and productive. We were not only created by God, but created to be creative. People have a high place in God's world. A sense of ambition is important in the creative scheme of things. When you confess that God is your creator, you affirm something great. You are someone with potential. You are made to achieve. You are made not so much to be clever, but to be great. It's a sin to deny the gift of God, to demean His glory, to belittle your own potential, whether man or woman, boy or girl. Jesus Christ called people back to God. He said He had come from the Father, and the Father had sent Him to be the Savior of the world. I and the Father are one, He said. Know me and know my Father, He said. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever lives in me, and I in him, shall produce a large crop of fruit. Apart from me, you can't do a thing. With him, you can do everything. Ambition has its place for anyone who knows God, recognizes the sovereignty of God, accepts the forgiveness of God, and lives the life of God. It has a very important place in the life of anyone who recognizes his own limitations and his dependence upon God. Jesus once told a story about a man who had lots of money. One day he left on a long journey. Before leaving, he distributed large sums of money to his servants that they might invest it and increase its value while he was away. He had no desire to let his money lie fallow somewhere, doing nothing. When he returned, he called his servants in and asked for a report. To his pleasure, he discovered that two out of the three were ambitious. Ambitious enough to earn interest on the money he had given them. He praised them for their good stewardship. The third servant, however, acted very humble about the whole thing. He said he thought it was better to bury his share of the money than to take any chances, so that he could at least return what he had received. In anger, his master denounced that unfaithful servant and called him a poor steward. Along with humility, there's a very fine place for ambition. Acceptance of the possibilities God has placed before you, instead of letting these possibilities go by the board. It is not piety, but faithlessness, to neglect the human possibilities God has given you on the supposition that the glory of God is magnified when your potential has been disregarded. When you disparage yourself and your talents, that's the same as denying God and His creation. You cannot believe in your Creator, affirming your creatureliness, unless you use the mind and strength and heart God has given you to do for him, to produce fruit. God intended you to do something and to be something. It was for this that he sent his son. He wanted you to be human, accepting your limitations and accepting him as your savior. It's important to know God and to be dependent on him. It's important to have faith in God and to know that he forgives you. It's important to have confidence that God gives you life, and this life is in his son. That's not destructive. It is creative. You can't hide from God. Our first parents found that out. And you will find it out, too. You can't go your own way and expect to find happiness. Happiness is found in God. In all of your humanity, find God and discover the good ground of ambition. Sin works in exactly the opposite way. It produces lack of esteem, lack of responsibility, and lack of ambition. If death is the only goal, why be ambitious? If the earth is going to pot and you can't do anything about it, go ahead and hide. But that's not God's way. Lost ambition does not come from God. How do you get back a real sense of ambition on the good ground of God? You get it by looking at Jesus Christ, accepting him as your Savior, taking his forgiveness for yourself, and living in faith as you were meant to have faith in God. It's just as the apostle said, have this mind in you, which you have in Jesus Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. For all of that, God gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Every tongue recognize him as Lord. Jesus had none of that stuff that is usually called ambition. He didn't seek anything for himself at all. But he was very ambitious. He was out to do for God. He was doing all the time. He was productive every minute of the day. He took the cross, which looked like the biggest failure of all time, and turned it into the greatest benefit of mankind. He took the risk of life with full responsibility and without fear of failure. He saved the world. In Jesus Christ, there's a liberating power to remove the curse of sin and to do away with the stupid fear of failure. This is success, to be able to stand in the presence of God without fear, knowing that Jesus came not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. There's no compulsion upon you to be successful in everything. You don't have to be right about everything. You don't have to prove yourself with all kinds of scrupulous piety as the Pharisees did. The cross of Christ means that you stand in the presence of God without a rule book, just by faith and with the love that faith produces. That's the good ground of human ambition. For people who live by faith in Jesus Christ, life has a certain joyous spontaneity which removes the tyranny of ambition. You can try your wings to see whether you can fly. You can do what you never tried before. You can extend yourself without worrying about failure. You don't have to know how things are going to turn out before you set out with faith in God. He will take care of the failures, as he does all the time, by his grace. You can live by the grace of God that you have in Jesus Christ. You can make music. It won't be like the music pupil who imagines that he wrote the music and can do whatever he wants with it. He has to follow the notes which the composer wrote. In this case, the composer is God, and the composition is life. But you don't have to be like the other pupil either, pounding away at the piano one note at a time, slavishly following the score without ever making any music. There's a virtuoso something about the life of God, which enables people to improvise and to pour out the melody of life. That's the way it is when you have faith in God. The Word of God encourages healthy ambition. God is an active God. Jesus went about doing good. This is not ambition gone wild. It's the kind of thing people can do without trying to play God themselves. We are surrounded on all sides by the pride of power, the pride of knowledge, and the pride of virtue. That kind of pride does not come from God. The desire to be more than human does not come from God, nor does the desire or the willingness to be less than human. Doing nothing is not especially virtuous. What God expects of each of us is that we be ourselves, having faith in Him, living as His forgiven people, accepting His grace in Jesus Christ, and living with joy. It's as simple as that. It's the good ground of ambition. When somebody goes out with all the freedom God gives to achieve the most he can with the gifts he has received from God. It's for the student at school and for the man in business. It's for the woman with all of her possibilities at home and outside the home. It's for everyone who has faith in God and in that faith is constantly learning how to live. It's for people who have come to know what Jesus meant when he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him shall produce a large crop of fruit. For apart from me, you can't do a thing. I am for you, says God in Jesus Christ. The same God in Jesus Christ is calling you to do your best, your very best. Not so much for yourself as for him, in him, with him, to get a new lease on life. Have life in Jesus Christ. Remember what St. Paul said when he found Jesus Christ. I can do anything, all things, through Christ who strengthens me. Amen.